It is the season of giving. When we got here this morning, my five-year-old, who's my helper, getting all these Christmas lights turned on and everything, asked, is Christmas in 2 days? Is it in 3 days? Because we've been counting down for ages now. And I said, one day, buddy, tomorrow when you wake up, it's going to be Christmas. He said, the real Christmas? When we open the presents under the tree, because we've been in Christmas mode for a while here, but yes, tomorrow is the real Christmas, and so within just 24 hours or so, many of you will experience that time around a tree where gifts are unwrapped and surprise and smiles and just the warmth of giving and receiving, and these expressions of love will be a part of our season. Of course, for my five-year-old, as most of us when we were five, we were focused more on the receiving end of that. But what we'll see this morning is that this is a season of receiving as well, and we are to receive in a way that is fitting of the gifts that God gives. Matthew 10, a phrase from the eighth verse, Jesus said to his followers, freely ye have received, freely give. There is, for the follower of God, a reception that has to take place and a right way to receive, and then a response that's appropriate as a reflection of, a reciprocation of, a reaction to all God has done. So this morning, we want to take some time to reflect on some of our cherished Christmas passages about what God has given to us and just take stock of those gifts and appreciate the gift and giver. And then take some time to talk about how we receive that and what our response should be toward God and toward others in this season of giving. Truly, freely we have received. May we be a people who freely gives. The primary gift that we think of course, that Christmas is centered on, is that God gave His Son. And if you are here on December 24, still kind of looking, seeking for the true meaning of Christmas, here it is in four words. God gave His Son. His only Son. Galatians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5, we read that when we were children in bondage under the elements of the world, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. God looked down on a world full of people, helpless, sinful, wandering, stumbling in darkness. Many had ignored Him altogether. Many had heard His law and rejected it. Others had embraced His law but sought moral purity through it instead of through relationship with Him. And in this world of lost sinners, instead of sending judgment, God gave His Son so that we, you and I, might receive the adoption of sons and daughters. Amazing. The greatest gift. We read in John 3 and verse 16, that God so loved the world. It was love that motivated this gift. He so loved that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is a verse that we associate with Calvary, or the cross, but in God's mind, it was the purpose of the gift of Christmas, because the next verse talks about that sending, that God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God in his sending at Christmas, the purpose of the manger, as the poet has said, over that manger was the shadow of a cross, because the purpose of the sending was so that Jesus might give his life for the salvation, the redemption, the adoption of all who believe. God gave his son. Jesus gave his throne. That's another gift we can think of at Christmas time, to remember that it wasn't just this, you know, God sending and Jesus as a passive, you know, obedient, responding to that goes, but it was a willing coming of Christ. He is giving, he is laying aside his throne to come, as Philippians 2 describes the incarnation as a picture of Jesus humbling himself, emptying himself, laying aside that glory to take on the form of a helpless peasant infant. Or as the songwriter said, thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. What a gift. We are the beneficiaries of a great sacrifice on Christ's part, completely undeserved, completely voluntary, a sacrificial gift of love. Jesus gave his life. It wasn't just God giving his son, it was Jesus says, no man takes my life from me, I lay it down voluntarily. He said in Matthew 20 and verse 28, the purpose of his coming was not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life, a ransom for many. Sin is our universal human condition. We are all plagued by it. We have all transgressed God's holy, moral, just laws, and therefore stand guilty, condemned, and deserving of his judgment. A price to pay that is higher than any of us can afford. So when Jesus gave his life a ransom, that is a wondrous gift, one we have to appreciate and acknowledge. John 10, verse 28, I give unto them eternal life. Jesus, when Jesus gives his life, it doesn't mean simply that he's giving it up on the cross. It is Jesus' offer to give his life to all who would receive it. Not just to give it up in death, but to pass it along to those who would, by faith, be joined in his death and resurrection, become in Christ in God's eyes. He gives eternal life. Some of you have been blessed to maybe be able to afford some pretty elaborate gifts to give to others this season. Thank God for that. But could any of us afford this ransom? Could anyone give such a gift as eternal life but Jesus Christ? This is why he came. The Holy Spirit gave hope. We read in Luke's gospel that the angel came to Mary and told her that the Holy Spirit would be the one who, through the power of the Most High, would form in her womb that precious child that would be called holy, the Son of God. It was the Holy Spirit that worked this miraculously so that each member of the Trinity is involved in the manifestation of this gift that's given to us, the gift of Christ, as the Father sends him, as Jesus willingly goes for this purpose, and as the Holy Spirit brings that into reality. This gives us hope. Our hope is through that gift of God, the gift of the Son, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Through this gift, God gives peace and goodwill. Peace and goodwill. Wonderful things to have on our Christmas list. Intangible blessings that come only from God. The angels in Luke 2 praised God and said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Not a lot of peace around the world today, or even at the Greenwood Park Mall today, probably. But peace is found in God's gift of His Son. Do you know someone who's a great gift giver? Some people have that knack to know what someone needs or wants or appreciates, or to give something that maybe they didn't even know they wanted. That something that is useful, or it's the right color, it's the right size, and it just is an expression of love. Well, that is a God-given gift of giving, to be a giver that knows the need and gives in love and gives what is useful and needed. That is a reflection of God's character, because we remember Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8 that God, our Father in heaven, knows what we have need of before we ask Him, Jesus says. Jesus would later remind His disciples that if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask of Him? God gives peace and goodwill. James tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. God is our model, our pattern for giving, the ultimate giver. And the peace, the goodwill, the hope, the eternal life that come through the gift of His Son are what we celebrate this season. So isn't it interesting, with all of these blessings, that an apostle would later tell us in Acts 20 and verse 35 that Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." All of these things that we receive from God, how blessed we are. We are a blessed people. So for Jesus to teach that it's more blessed to give than to receive needs to expand our minds, to grow our hearts, to understand that even as we receive these wondrous gifts from God, our response is not simply to say, "Wow, well, He gave things that no one else could give. I could never match or reciprocate that. I'll just soak it in. I'll be a receiver." And there is a reception that needs to take place there. We first need to receive the gift. We'll talk about this in a moment, and then express back to Him our gratitude for it, but then that needs to transform into our becoming givers ourselves. It's not that we give instead of receiving, but the greater blessing is that once we acknowledge all that we've received, we respond by becoming givers ourselves. So how do we respond? Well, first it is to consciously, willingly receive the Father's gift. You could imagine maybe some of the embarrassment or hurt if one of those gifts that you have carefully picked out, wrapped, prepared, was rejected. "No, I don't want to open that." The recipient said, "No, thanks." So when God sends His Son, the greatest gift, and offers that hope, that peace, that goodwill, that eternal life through Him, that forgiveness, that ransom, that redemption, that adoption of reconciliation with God through Christ, it is shameful, hurtful, and ultimately tragic that some will choose not to receive that gift. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but that the gift of God is eternal life. He offers this gift through Christ. Do you know the feeling of You get a gift from someone that you hadn't got a gift for. And maybe it's even, you know, something really thoughtful or kind of expensive. And it's like, what? No, you don't have to do that. No, but you shouldn't have done this. No, you know, sometimes even, probably not at Christmas time, but other times we might, someone offers us something and we say, well, let me pay you for that, or let me give you something in return, or let me do something to earn that. That's, on one hand, kind of a virtuous response to say, well, I don't want to just be a taker. I want to, you know, reciprocate that. But at the heart, that can also be a prideful response to not be indebted to someone else. When it comes to God's gift of eternal life, God's gift of forgiveness through Christ, all we can do is gratefully receive it. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. We can't pay him back. We can't say, no, thank you. I'm okay. You don't need to do that. No, we are in desperate need of this gift. But the gift is not passively received. It's not that when Jesus came in the manger, now suddenly everyone in the world is saved and going to heaven, or that when Jesus died on the cross, that his blood forgave all sins, and so now no one has to worry about it anymore. No, there is a conversion that has to take place where this gift is offered to everyone, but have you received it? A gift has to be received before one can claim to possess it. And so many have rejected that gift. Even when Jesus came into the world, he was noticed by a few, but rejected by so many. When John talks about Christ coming in chapter 1 of his gospel, he says this of Jesus, that he was in the world, and the world was made by him. Imagine that. God, Jesus is the agent of creation. When God says, let there be, Jesus brings it into being, and by him all things consist, and he enters into his creation, and what is the response? His creatures don't recognize him. They knew him not. Or verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. How sad that star came and left, and that Christmas morning passed, and so many went about their lives ignoring God or trying to earn their way to him and failing to biblically receive Christ, receive this gift. His own received him not. Don't go through Christmas, don't go through this life acknowledging that baby in the manger, giving and celebrating his coming and receiving and exchanging love without having received that gift of Christ, forgiveness of sins, eternal life through his resurrection. Because verse 12 says that as many as received him, to them gave he power, the authority, the privilege, the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. See, we are not all children of God by default. The Bible says on this verse, you can see on the screen, or open your Bible to John chapter 1 and verse 12 and see that being the son or daughter of God is something you need to become. You are not his child by default. But when you believe on Christ's name and Christ's name alone, you are given the right to become God's child. And I say it's belief on Christ's name alone, because if it were anything else, or that along with anything else, it would not be a gift. If you want to receive the gift of Christ and say, yes, I see myself as God's child, I think I'm headed for heaven when I die, and well, it's because of Jesus' gift, but in order to have that gift, I get baptized, I say prayers, I live a moral life, I give to the church or join this organization or do good deeds or stay away from bad deeds. And so many people are trying to earn a gift. And if it's earned, it's not a gift. So the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life. And if we could earn it, then Christmas is a shame, because Jesus didn't need to lay aside his throne and take on flesh and get helpless and weak and tired and sick and tempted and be like us and experience everything we experience besides sin and die a gruesome, horrific death. None of it was necessary if we could earn or contribute to our salvation and negate a gift. It has to be received as a gift. That's humbling. That's what keeps many people away from it, is that it's humbling. But to receive a gift that I haven't paid for and could never deserve, and to recognize that there is not goodness in me to be able to earn God's favor or buy or work my way into heaven, that's humbling. But to recognize my only hope is Jesus' righteousness. I'm not righteous enough. I must by faith receive this gift. That's why Jesus came. We have to receive the Father's gift. Have you received the Savior, trusting Him alone for salvation? Once we have, we celebrate both gift and giver, to see all God gave, all Christ gave, all the Holy Spirit gave, so that we might be part of this family, so that we might receive forgiveness and have our ransom paid and be redeemed and have eternal life and be His people. We celebrate that. We say with the angels, glory to God in the highest. We say with Mary, my soul magnifies the Lord, for He has regarded our humble estate. We say with Zechariah, blessed be the Lord Most High. We, with those shepherds, bow before the manger and recognize the greatest gift and celebrate both gift and giver. And then our first response, after we've received it, we've celebrated it, is to give thanks. We give thanks. Christmas is a time to say thank you. We do that with many of our Christmas songs, and with as we give time to come around God's Word together and reflect and with grateful hearts adore Him. The will of God in Christ Jesus, Paul wrote to Thessalonians, is that we would give thanks in everything. Or he writes in 2 Corinthians, after 14 verses of imploring people to give to God's work for the advancement of the church, the spread of the gospel, the needs of the poor, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Everything we do for anyone else is to be a reflection of our gratitude for all God has done for us, a gift we could never repay. And though we don't earn it, once we have received it freely, now we go about gratefully living in obedience with hearts full of gratitude. Not to earn it, but to walk worthy of it. We give our treasures. We give our treasures. You have treasures. Yeah, you're not a pirate with a chest somewhere full of loot. But every, you know, even my house, even our little four-year-old girl, she's got our treasures here and there. And, you know, we never grow out of that. We've got things that are important to us. And sometimes it's money. Sometimes it's material goods. Sometimes it's even just our time and our energy. I want to read from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, about the account that is really the basis for our giving. You know, this is a season of giving, and we receive so much from God, but He says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And if we've received freely, then we ought to freely give. And so, you know, it's interesting that kids scratch their heads sometimes and wonder and ask, well, if Christmas is Jesus' birthday, how come we get the gifts? And it is a time of giving, exchanging gifts, and this might go back to Matthew 2, where we read that when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Many intriguing characters in the Christmas narrative. There's Mary, there's Joseph, Elizabeth and Zechariah, Simeon and Anna, the shepherds and so forth. But it is the wise men that bring us into the Christmas story, you and I. We relate with them. Not because we are necessarily wise or noble or wealthy or any of that, but because we see in the wise men that this king of the Jews was not only for the Jewish people. The wise men are the first Gentile worshipers of the Savior. And with their seeking and with their rejoicing and with their presentation of gifts, they are a signal to the world at large that this one who was born King of the Jews is a Savior of the world, a signal that this birth of a Jewish Messiah that they had so long hoped for, that their Jewish prophets had prophesied, that was coming from Israel to deliver Israel, was not just for Israel, but that we, who were once estranged, once alienated, once foreigners, through his death on the cross, could be brought into a relationship with him as a special chosen people of God, a holy nation from all nations. And so, with the Gentile wise men, we rejoice with exceeding great joy that this one who has prophesied has come and is a hope, a light to the nations. So in our giving, as these magi did, we present gifts to God. How do we give our treasures to God? Well, we can do that as we invest in his work, the church, by keeping going this organism that is here to edify believers, that is here to evangelize the lost, that is here to facilitate the worship of God. We do this gladly. 2 Corinthians says, God loves a cheerful giver. We do this generously. As God has blessed us, so we are to bless. We do this humbly. Not like the Pharisees and chief priests who publicized their giving and showed it off, but discreetly and humbly we give. And this is the same way we are to give to one another. You know, it's easy to give in pride. Oh, what a good gift I gave. Well, I think I gave a little better than I got. And certainly as you grow up and, you know, become an adult, and especially once you have kids or grandkids of your own, you have long since crossed that threshold of giving better than you got or giving more than you got. But instead of taking pride in that, let your giving this season be from a humble heart, gracious that we only give what we first received, And if we are good givers and give good gifts, it's simply reflecting the giving heart of our Father who has showed us how, so that pile of gifts under the tree, and maybe it's a big one, it could represent pride, greed, materialism, excess, but it could also represent generosity, love, warmth, grateful hearts, celebrating hearts, and even the heart of our giving Father. We give to our loved ones in these ways, generously, gladly, humbly, and we give to those in need. Jesus said, "Give to him that asketh of thee," Matthew 5, verse 42. "And from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away." So we are to give to the needy as well. Now you might feel like, well, churches are always after the checkbook. But really a big part of our giving doesn't even have to involve the wallet. In our blessed giving and our free giving, Pastor Chuck Swindoll writes that some gifts you can give this Christmas are beyond monetary value. Mend a quarrel. Dismiss a suspicion. Tell someone, "I love you." Give something away anonymously. Forgive someone who has treated you wrong. Turn away wrath with a soft answer. Visit someone in a nursing home. Apologize if you were wrong. Be especially kind to someone with whom you work. Give as God gave to you in Christ, without obligation or announcement or reservation or hypocrisy. End quote. We give our treasures. We give good tidings. The angel in Luke 2 said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Good tidings, the good news. We are not simply to be recipients of that news. We are to be spreaders, givers of that news. And when it comes to all the blessings of Christmas, don't just be a reservoir, be a channel of these tidings. And as you, this next couple of days, review some of the well-known Christmas passages, take note of when the news is proclaimed and when those who hear it are told to or voluntarily go and spread that news to others. That is an appropriate response. And this is one of the senses in which it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's wonderful to receive salvation. But more blessed than that, even more blessed than that, is to receive it and to share it with someone else. That verse we opened with, that freely you have received, freely give, it's kind of plucked out of context. What it comes in context is as Jesus commissioning his disciples, sending them out to heal the sick and feed the hungry and give the gospel, to spread the good tidings. And as he sends them out to give good tidings, he reminds them, "Freely ye have received, freely give." Finally, we give our lives. Really, all we have and all we are is to be a living sacrifice to God, to be used in his service, to be used in the service of others. So 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same to one another." It's more blessed to give than to receive. If we've received freely, we ought to give freely. If you've received the gift of salvation, and with that, the equipping of the Holy Spirit for ministry through spiritual gifts, we are to use the gifts that God has given us to give to others in contributing to their edification and the evangelization of the lost. Luke 12:48. To whomsoever much is given, much shall be required. So let's remember this season that we are a people to whom much has been given. And we celebrate that, and this is, you know, we rejoice in that, and we receive that with warm and grateful hearts and adore the Savior who gives them. But remember that though the gift is free, it does come with the expectation that our response as people who have been so blessed, as people who have been given so much, is that we would then become givers ourselves, reflecting the goodness of our Father, the sacrifice of Christ, the hope of the Holy Spirit, by pouring into the lives of those around us, gladly, generously, humbly, and for God's glory. Freely ye have received. Freely give in this season of giving. Let's bow together.